Sorry.
Okay, this year, tonight, we'll focus on the holiday of Lag BaOmer. Now, during the Sphira period, the period between Pesach and Shavuos, so they are days of mourning. We do not have weddings on many of those days. There are different customs. We do not take haircuts. Some refrain from going to joyous occasions where there's dancing and music. But there is a holiday. It's called a minor holiday, a holiday during the Sphira period. And it seems that there is a certain connection between the Sphira period and the holiday. The holiday is Lag BaOmer. Now, it's interesting, just as a side point, the students of Rabbi Akiva who died during the Sphira period. So the Gemara says they died from Askara, which was a terrible disease. It does not give people the ability to breathe. But this is the Gemara in Yevamos. The Igeres Rav Shrira Gaon says they died b'shmada. Shmad is usually identified that they died because of their religious commitment, their devotion to the Torah. What Rav Shrira Gaon will do with the Gemara, I don't know, but he does mention that. But the question is, now, why is it? What is the reason for the holiday of Lag BaOmer? The holiday of Lag BaOmer is shrouded in mystery. Some of the Mefarshim, some of the commentaries, when they refer to the holiday of Lag BaOmer, they refer to it as a Yom Tov Me'ezatam. For some reason, the Chasam Sofer himself raises questions about what he considered the excessive joy of Lag BaOmer, because he says it's the reason for Lag BaOmer is not mentioned in the Gemara, although he himself suggests possible reasons for the holiday of Lag BaOmer. The most prevalent reason given for the holiday of Lag BaOmer, at least until recently, was that that's the day that's identified with the students of Rabbi Akiva stopping to die. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students. 24,000 students, and they all died from Askara, and they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, according to some. According to others, they died throughout the whole duration of the Sphira period, but they died only in 32 or 33 days during that period. So reminiscent of that, we mourn for 32 or 33 days, and then we have on Lag BaOmer, on the 33rd day of the Omer, we have a celebration, celebrating the end of the deaths of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And the question is, seems to be a very logical question, a very obvious question. All the students of Rabbi Akiva died. And nevertheless, we celebrate in Lag BaOmer. In other words, we could understand, let's say, if half the students died. So we're celebrating the fact that the other half of the students survived. But the only reason, would seem, the only reason that they died, the only reason they stopped dying is because they all died already. So why are we celebrating? What is the purpose of the celebration? Now, the Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of Chumash Bereishis mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Borei Olamos Machriva. God created a number of worlds. The Mekubalim discuss how many worlds. And he destroyed them because they did not find favor in his eye. Until he created this world. And this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God approved of this world. And consequently, he let this world continue to exist. And the question my uncle raised against the Medrash is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knew that the worlds he created would not find favor in his eyes. So why did he create those worlds only to destroy them? Why didn't he initially create this world without creating those other worlds? And my uncle says, because we know that there is a mitzvah halachta d'drachav. In a sense, we have to follow in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachum, chanun, erech haPayim, is merciful. We have the traits that we could identify in ourselves as personality traits that somehow could be identified with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There is a mitzvah following the example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that if somebody tries and he's not able to accomplish, a person shouldn't give up. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds and the worlds didn't work out the way he thought they would. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set an example for mankind that we are going to encounter, and we all encounter, times of trouble, times of frustration, and seemingly times of failure. But nevertheless, we imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even where it didn't work out the way it should have worked out. We try and we try again. And this certainly has to do with, on a religious level, when people try all kinds of projects of spreading Torah, of helping people, and we don't always succeed at first, but it doesn't mean we give up. We try again. And the Chazal tell us that after Rabbi Akiva's students, 12,000 pairs of students died, Rabbi Akiva didn't give up. He tried again. this time with five Talmidim, with five students. But these students continued the Mesorah. They continued the heritage of Torah learning. And to a large degree, all of Torah, the written Torah Shabbat Pad that we have has its foundation in Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, in Rabbi Akiva and his students. So a person could suggest perhaps that when we celebrate after they died, we're not celebrating the fact that they all died, but we're celebrating that the mission that they were part of did not die with them, and that mission continued with new Talmidim, with new students. Now, and it's interesting that one of the reasons, perhaps today the most popular reason, associated with Lag BaOmer is the fact that it's the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and there is a custom in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, last year there was a great tragedy that took place there. To go up to Meron, where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is buried, and there is a celebration that takes place, and the central focus of Lag BaOmer became Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the student of Rabbi Akiva. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was not one of those students, of those 12,000 pairs of students who perished in the Magefa. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the five students who Rabbi Akiva taught after all his past students passed away, died from Askara. And many are critical. Many were very critical of the celebration that takes place on the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Shaul HaMeshiv, the Chassam Sofer, mainly the Shaul HaMeshiv. And he says, when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai dies, these are days that we should commemorate the day with fasting, with davening, not with singing and dancing. And we could suggest that, on the contrary, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva. So the fact that he lived his life shows that the influence of Rabbi Akiva continued even after Rabbi Akiva's death. So in other words, when we celebrate that, when we celebrate on the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we're celebrating the life of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the perpetuation of the tradition and of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. But I think that we could explain Lag BaOmer, the celebration of Lag BaOmer, in a different manner. That the we could, well, we could explain the celebration of the art site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in a different manner. And that is, there was a custom that existed in Meron to take expensive clothes and burn them at the site of the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And many, many were critical of this. They felt, the Sholem Eishiv said, that to do that is a prohibition about tashchis. It's destructive. It's wasting. You're not allowed to destroy something just for the sake of destroying it. And the Sholem Eishiv is very critical of this custom. And many wrote Sfarim, trying, and Kuntresim, trying to answer the claim of the Sholem Eishiv against the custom of the burning of the clothes, the destruction of the clothes that used to take place. And when you look at the Tshuva Sfarim, the responsa, that deal with that custom, it seems there were different periods of time. There were periods of time where they would burn very expensive clothes. And there were periods of time that they would burn only simple clothes. And if someone brought expensive clothes, so they would sell those clothes and the money that was raised for the selling of those clothes was given for the poor. But how are we to understand this custom? It seems, so the answer that was given by Reb Shmuel Heller, he was the Rav of Tzfas, in regard to the claim of the Sholem Eishiv, that when they burn the clothes, they are violating the prohibition of Bal Tashchis. He says, the Isur Bal Tashchis, the Isur of being destructive, that's only if you're destroying something for no purpose at all. But if there is a purpose, then it's not Bal Tashchis. Now we have to understand, what could be the purpose in taking clothes? And of course, in certain periods of time, it was expensive clothes. And destroying them and burning them at the site of the kever, at the site of the grave of the Tana Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And it's brought down, Reb Shmuel Heller brings down, all of this is brought down in Reb Zevin Sefer, but he doesn't mention what the purpose would have been in destroying the clothes. So the question is, what was the purpose in destroying these clothes, of burning the clothes at the kever of Shimon Bar Yochai? It's brought down the Archaim. Reb Chaim ben Attar, who wrote the Archaim on Chumash. So he was at the kever of Shimon Bar Yochai and also participated in the burning of the clothes. And the question is, what was the purpose of it? And I think we could explain it in one of two ways. The halacha was that when a king died, and the commentaries make reference to it, this idea did not originate with me, but they raise questions against it. It was assumed that the reason they burn it is because there was a custom to burn the clothes of a king after he died, or burn the utensils of a king. Certainly the bed and the sleeping clothes of the king were burnt To what extent this prohibition went is a question. But it seems that the burning, according to some of the Chuvosvarim, that the burning of the clothes at the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in a sense treating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as if he was king. Now, even though halachically he certainly wasn't king, and even though when we dealt with the kings, not every clothes that he wore was burnt. Some say only the clothes that were associated with sleeping were burnt. But nevertheless, this was done to identify Rav Shimon Bar Yochai with the kings of Israel. And the question is, why? Why should we identify Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in a demonstrative manner as if he was one of the kings of the Jewish people? But I think the reason is that after the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, after the Romans exiled the Jewish people, although there were many Jews that still stayed in Israel, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai among them, initially, and my uncle points that out in the shiurim that he gave regarding Tisha B'Av, initially the focus of the Romans was not so much against the Chachamim. It was against the Kohanim. It was against those who had positions of leadership. But the Romans did not feel that they had to fear from the Chachamim. Either because they felt, as my uncle suggests, that with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, everything would crumble anyway, or because they saw the Chachamim as just teachers and not leaders. But what happened? How did the Jewish people survive the exile? And perhaps this is the idea behind the Avelus, the mourning of the students of Rabbi Akiva, who represented the future leaders of the Jewish people. It was the teachers, the Chachamim, that became the leaders of the Jewish people. In every town, who was the leader of the Jewish people? And certainly in Europe, till the probably the 1900s, maybe late 1800s, the leaders of the Jewish people in the towns of Europe were the Chachamim, was the Rabbanim of the cities. In other words, they might not have been official leaders, but by virtue of being the Chachamim, by virtue of being the teacher, by virtue of being the Morah Derech, by virtue of giving guidance, religious guidance to Jewish people, they became the unofficial leaders of the Jewish people. And in a sense, later on, when the Romans did turn against the Chachamim, against the Torah scholars, perhaps it was they began to realize that that Jewish leadership remained. It might not have been official Jewish leadership. It might not have been a position of leadership. It was a position of scholarship. But it became a position of leadership. And perhaps that's the reason. It's true. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai talked against the Romans, but they they considered his actions as a capital offense. They felt that he was a threat to them, because they recognized that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who did not look with a positive perspective at what the Romans considered their accomplishments, that he was a threat to them, because he might not have been an official leader, but he was an unofficial leader. And the fact that he was able, that the death sentence was removed, that he was able to live his normal life. So Jewish leadership continued. Man Malchei Rabbanan. Who are the kings? Who are the leaders of the Jewish people? And while this was always true, certainly in times of Gullus and times of exile, who were the leaders of the Jewish people? The leaders of the Jewish people were the Rabbanim, the Chachamim, the Torah sages. So when Reb Shimon Bar Yochai passed away, it showed that the leadership of Rabbi Akiva, who was murdered by the Romans, was perpetuated after his death through his Talmidim, few as they might have been. And that Torah leadership continues for generations afterwards. So perhaps that's the reason. The reason of the celebration was the frustration of the plan of the Romans to end the Torah leadership from the Jewish people. Now, but I think we could suggest another reason why we celebrate Lag BaOmer from the perspective that that's when the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, even though they all died. Obviously, the fact that they all died is reason for mourning. And that is the reason why we mourn during the Sphira. But what very often happens when we confront tragedy, there is a sense of depression that overtakes us. And when we sink into the depression, even if the reason for the depression doesn't exist anymore, or doesn't exist in the same manner it existed, it's difficult to get out of the depression. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu, when he heard that Yosef died, and so his sons and daughters, they got up to be menachin him, to console him by your mind, but he refused consolation. He was overtaken with this sense of depression. Life became for him no longer was it a process of living, but it became a process of dying. He said, Anochi ered livni shaola. I will go down to my grave, to my son in the grave. But then when he heard, oh, Joseph Chai, that Joseph is still alive. But the Ruach Yaakov Avihem, the spirit of Yaakov became alive again. And there is no doubt that when the students of Rabbi Akiva died, whatever the cause of their death was, the Jewish people sunk into a depression. And in a sense, it reinforced the depression of the Churban, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, but after they died, there's a celebration. The celebration is not about them stopping to die per se, because the reason they stopped to die was because they were all dead. But what are we celebrating? We are celebrating because when we were countering the deaths of the students of Rabbi Akiva and the implication of the deaths of these Torah scholars who represented the future of the Jewish people, whether it was the future of the teaching of Torah, the future of Jewish leadership, but there was undoubtedly a sense of depression. And sometimes it's difficult to come out of depression. Rabbi Akiva himself, why was he able to move forward, to take new talmidim, to take new students? You think that after he lost 24,000 students, there wasn't a sense of depression on him? How was he able to start over again? But the answer is, he recognized the responsibility. And when we recognize the responsibility, we have to recognize that we can fulfill that responsibility. And it's not just Rabbi Akiva. It's all of Klal Yisrael. In those days, everybody was looking to the perpetuation of Torah, to the students of Rabbi Akiva. And when Rabbi Akiva's students died, people were concerned about the future. Who is going to teach the next generation? Who is going to teach our children? Who is going to teach our grandchildren Torah? But the Jewish people, and through the efforts of Rabbi Akiva, they were able to overcome that tragedy. And in a sense, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who was the student of Rabbi Akiva, he represents that perpetuation of Torah. So his living his normal life became identified with simcha, with joy. Why? Because joy is the opposite. True joy, not hololos. True joy is the opposite of depression. So it's the celebration of the fact that the Jewish people did not remain depressed, but on the contrary, they recognized the challenge and they met that challenge. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's life was demonstrative of that. And in a sense, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva and their generations afterwards, even in spite of all the tragedies of Golos, whether it was Shmad or was Askara, whatever it was, they were able to reverse the trend. Life became a process of living rather than a process of dying. But tichi ruach ruchayim, their ruach, their spirit, became alive again. And So especially in the middle of the Sphere period, the Sphere period represents tragedy. On one hand, it's Zecha L'Chorban. It reminds us of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Baal HaMor says that why is it that we don't say Shehechiyanu on Sphiras HaOmer? Because there is no Korban Omer today. There is usually, and when the Beis HaMikdash, when the temple was in existence, the counting of the Omer was coupled with the giving of the sacrifice of the Omer. But when we count the Omer today, we know that there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no temple. But nevertheless, so because of that, we can't be joyous. Because we remember the Churban, we remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But when we remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when we remember the exile, it's also important for us to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us in the most difficult of times. You know, sometimes we refer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we have Hester upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomer Yisrael. And sometimes we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach Min HaChalonos. He looks at figuratively out of the windows. Shomer, what is a Shomer? Someone who is entrusted with watching something. It's not just watching. He has a responsibility to make sure that it's okay. There are times in Jewish history when it's obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomer Yisrael. In our lifetime, when the Six-Day War took place, everybody was concerned about almost another Holocaust. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Shomer Yisrael. It was miraculous. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us to be just Mashgiach Min HaChalonos. He's looking, observing. But why is he observing? He's observing to make sure that he will intervene when it's absolutely necessary. And in a sense, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the continuation of the ability of the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a special aid, a special help in rising out of the depression. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. The Sphira period is identified with our galus, with post-destruction. As the Baal HaMor says, but nevertheless, even in that period of time, there are individual days when we could be happy to demonstrate that we do not become so depressed that we should become our own enemies. And it's interesting that, but there is another possible explanation for why. So the burning of the clothes by the burning of the clothes by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's grave was not just demonstrative of the fact that Jewish leadership continues, but I think there was a message there to the Jewish people, or it was our firm belief that real Malchus will return to Jewish people with the coming of Mashiach. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when he's Mashkiach min HaChalonos, even when he's looking and he doesn't appear to be intervening, but he will intervene to assure the future of the Jewish people and the coming of Mashiach. Now, the Chassam Sofer, he suggests an altogether different reason. Altogether different reason for Lag BaOmer. The Chassam Sofer says, and I know there's a Rashi that seems to say to the contrary, but the 15th of Iyar, he said, the Jewish people who left Egypt came to Midbar Sin. On the 16th day, the Jewish people complained, the 16th day of Sivan, the Jewish people complained that they would have been better off dying in Egypt. What did that show, by the way? That showed that life, because they were complaining about the fact that they didn't have food, life became a process of dying rather than a process of living. On the 17th day of Iyar, Moshe was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the man, the miraculous food that would come from heaven for the Jewish people. And on the 18th of Iyar, the man came. According to the Chassam Sofer, the celebration of Lag BaOmer has to do more with what happened in the desert. And it seems somewhat strange that in the desert, the Jewish people, that we're celebrating now, doesn't appear that there was such a holiday prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It seems strange that we should celebrate in our time the giving of the man. The giving of the man during the Omer period. Now it's true, the Ibn Ezra claims that the giving of the man was perhaps the greatest miracle of the Midbar, I'm sure, with the exception of Matan Torah, because the man was something that came every day. In a sense, we could suggest that according to Ibn Ezra, the man became part of nature for the Jewish people. But but what did it show? Now, the Medrash says, the Medrash tells us that the Jewish people in the Midbar, before they received the Torah, they had a certain sense of emptiness. And very often, when we have a certain sense of emptiness, how is it that the Jewish people said that we would have been better off staying in Egypt? But the answer is, when you have a certain sense of emptiness, and they had a sense of emptiness, it appears from the Medrash, because they didn't get the Torah yet. So in a sense, they felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't there with them. And undoubtedly, during our exile, there were many that had this same feeling during the Holocaust, during the Gzeres HaTachtonot, during the Crusades. And one can't be critical, but there were people that just felt, where is God? And that's undoubtedly the feeling that some of the Jews had at that point, and that came from the emptiness that they felt. They said to Moshe, when are we going to get the Torah? And the Torah wasn't just the Torah. Of course, learning the Torah was very important. But together with the getting of the Torah was this sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, Ilu kervanu lefnei har Sinai v'lo nosan lanu es haTorah dayenu. So the process of getting the Torah was a process of feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling close to God. So the giving of the mon at that time, when the Jews felt somewhat distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much so that the life became a process of dying rather than a process of living, so much so that they said they would have rather died in Egypt than go out to the desert. And then they received the mon that showed that even when we have occasions that sometimes lead us to have this feeling of emptiness that makes us feel perhaps a fault of our own, distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mashgiach min hachalonos. He looks out of the window. And when it becomes necessary, he becomes the Shomer Yisrael. So could be that when we focus on the Churban, the Zeichel Churban, and we have that feeling of emptiness and destruction, we have to emphasize the giving of the mon, because the giving of the mon was God showing the Jewish people that even when they felt distanced from him, he was there with them all the time. Okay.
Thank you very much, Shekhar.